Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning to you. It's Wednesday, 9:08 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in to the program today. We're going to talk Chamber of Commerce action here early on with Nate and Jody. And then later on in the program, we're going to talk about, well, a topic that's kind of got America talking a little bit, the gun control, who should have guns, why they should have guns, who should own guns, who shouldn't own guns. Well, we know who shouldn't, but we're going to talk about that with Dave Romer later on the program. Right now, though, Nate Martinez, who is Director of Operations and Policies with the Chamber, is with us, along with Jody Gardner, who works for Main Street Insurance. She's in charge of group benefits. I like that. That sounds important, Jody.
It's so important.
And then, I guess Nate, Sean couldn't be here, huh? He's got something going down?
Couldn't be here. There's a little something going on called Wilson Electronics. They're having a groundbreaking this morning. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, Sean's out there helping out with that and helping kick it off. So,
they're building like a new building, or are they adding on, or?
I believe it's a new building.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Well, thank you guys for coming in today. I really appreciate it. Yeah. You guys been out to the fair yet? Not yet?
Not yet.
No. I haven't, but I know our Sunshiners were there to kick it off with their trailer. They did the parade.
Yep, I was in it, and it was fun.
Yeah?
Anything with the Chamber is fun. We love it.
Did you throw candy, Jody?
We did, and we had so much, and we did not pace ourselves. Like, halfway through the parade, we were all out of candy, and we were like, what? We've got to learn to do this better next time.
I have experienced that same thing. You really do need to pace yourself when you're throwing candy in a parade, because you see all these kids at the beginning, and you're like, I'm going to give them everything.
Every
and
kid's got to have some candy.
Halfway through, you're like, shoot.
I know.
The other thing, some of the kids set up at the very, very end, like right when the floats are turning and they're about done or whatever. Yeah. And everybody that has candy left is like, okay, here's the rest.
Yeah.
And they throw that out. But that's not that many people. A lot of people are like you and I, Jody. Yeah. You throw it out too early.
Too early.
Yeah.
Way too early. I've got to learn that next time. So.
Yeah, you'll learn. Yeah, for sure. So what's happening with the Chamber? I know you had a new member luncheon recently, Nate. And gosh, just with the growth of St. George, the growth of the Chamber is kind of mirroring that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah. We saw a lot of new members this past month, and there's a lot going on this week. Today, it's a real divide and conquer operation. We have two groundbreakings today. The first was for Wilson Electronics, and then later today, we're having Jersey Mike's. That's going to be happening right after this morning, too.
Right after this, we're heading over, yeah.
Santa Clara.
Oh, it's Jersey Mike's in Santa Clara. Out by Harmon's?
Yes.
Or
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not that far out in Santa Clara.
Not quite that far,
really,
okay.
Just right in there. But, yeah.
I love Jersey Mike's, by the way. Have you ever had?
Excellent.
They have this cherry salsa, cherry pepper salsa. And instead of mayo or oil or whatever, I have them put some of that cherry pepper salsa on my bread with my sandwich. Gives it a little kick, a little sweet kick. Oh, it's good.
And they're selling it now.
They're selling it?
Oh, really? Yeah, in the front.
It's very, very good stuff. I like a couple weeks ago, I guess maybe a week and a half ago, somebody posted something negative about Jersey Mike's. They didn't like the way their order turned out or something, but the responses were pretty funny because people were like, I think I'll go to Jersey Mike's. That sounds really good right now. And they had mentioned that some sandwich that wasn't to perfection, and almost every response was, I love Jersey Mike's. We're going there now. Thanks for the idea. So I don't think that's what whoever posted that intended, but it was pretty good advertising for Jersey Mike's, I think, that day.
Yeah, it was a plant. Great marketing.
There's no such thing as bad publicity, Nate. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Yeah, that works.
As long as you're in the conversation, right?
Now, Jody, you're a Sunshiner?
I am.
Yeah? And yes. I am. I'm kind of an honorary Sunshiner right now. They meet while I'm on the radio. I can't go to any of the meetings. You guys meet, was it the Mondays at 9?
Monday 8:30.
8:30, yeah. I'm sort of busy then.
Yeah.
I actually talked to them about it. I said, look, when we got bought, I got a new email address. They've never updated my email address, so I don't get the emails anymore about ribbon cuttings and stuff. So I've been kind of on, I'm like, hey, can you guys update that for me? And they're like, oh, yeah, we got that. They don't have it yet. So
I think we can correct that.
Yeah, let's
get that email.
Let's do it.
We'll get that taken care of.
Update.
One of the cool things about a lot of the groundbreakings, or ribbon cuttings, I guess, is there's usually free food, you know, and especially if it's a new restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
I remember now Blaze Pizza, unfortunately, not around anymore, but when Blaze Pizza opened, we had a Chamber of Commerce ribbon cutting, and they had free Blaze Pizza, and that was good.
Yeah. Those are the perks, for
that
sure.
Good. Yeah. So.
Yep, it is.
Anyway, yeah, appreciate, again, you guys coming out, representing the Chamber of Commerce. Let's talk, Jody, for a minute about Main Street Insurance. So tell us, what is Main Street Insurance? Where is Main? I'm assuming it's on Main Street.
I have some news for you.
Okay. All right. We like news.
We were on Main Street for many, many years, but okay. We are not anymore.
Main Street Insurance is not on Main Street.
We are not. So, yeah, we actually, for the last few years, we are right behind Costco.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're like kitty corner to Pineview High
School.
Could
you do like a pseudo Main Street in there somehow or something to make it official?
We should change that name of that street because there's only us really on that street. So okay. It really should know.
So I'm going to Costco. Tell me where it is in relation to Costco then.
Yeah, so we are like directly right behind it. It's a two-story building.
Okay. By the BioLife or over by the Chef's
Store? Behind the BioLife. Oh, okay. So right behind the BioLife, right behind Costco, kitty corner to Pineview High School.
Okay.
So yeah. They're just diagonal from us.
And that is, by the way, St. George City. It is not Washington City.
I know. It is.
I think a lot of people... I remember when I first moved here, I'm like, oh, Washington City's high school is Pineview. And everyone's like, nah, actually, no. Pineview is in St. George. There's only one high school in the area now that is in Washington City, and that is Crimson Cliffs.
It's
actually in Washington City limits.
Yeah,
so
that is interesting. Well, we've been around for a long time. I mean, we actually started in 1969, but in 2009, we changed our name to Main Street Insurance. We sometimes like to go by MSI agency. It's really cool. It's really cool instead of Main Street Insurance. MSI, it's a mouthful. Like,
remember when Kentucky Fried Chicken changed to KFC?
KFC.
Yeah. So you guys can just be MSI.
MSI. Yeah, it kind of rolls off the tongue. So, yeah, we are just a full-service insurance agency. We're independent agency, which means we don't use just one carrier. I mean, we have access to dozens of different carriers. So when we quote you with dozens of companies to
That's
make
really
sure we're
cool.
getting you the best yeah. rate. We re-quote every renewal. So we make sure that... we're getting you the best rates possible.
Very cool. Now, the insurance industry has been, I don't know if under fire is the right word, but that certainly with interest rates going, yeah. Interest rates are up and inflation and now insurance rates are way up.
Yeah.
I had actually an insurance guy on the show, I don't know, a month or so ago, and he said, look, we don't want to raise the rates.
No.
We really don't.
We hate it.
The cost of everything is so much more now. And then you throw into the fact that, and we were talking about this before we went on the air, for instance, car insurance, the technology has gotten so advanced on cars, and for good reasons, safety reasons, but, you know, you have the little lane sensors, and there's all this stuff now that if you get in a fender bender, it's not just fix a metal panel
right.
anymore. There's
right.
a lot of expensive stuff that needs to be fixed.
Well, even like windshields with
yeah.
all like the rear view cameras, yeah. everything. It's just everything is so expensive. So, and homeowners insurance, the same thing. The cost of building has gone up. So
yeah.
it's just, it just trickles down into insurance because now when your home burns down, it's a lot more to replace it. I mean, my home
yeah.
went up too. Even us in the insurance world, our rates go up too, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, we try to do the best we can at what we got to work with. So,
well, even, you know, we mentioned technology in car, technology in homes is gone up a lot too. For safety's sake, a lot of it. But yeah, you know, just replacing a wall or mm-hmm. like you said, if there's a small fire or a big fire, it's going to cost a lot more. Yeah. So.
I know.
Yeah. But you can call Jody and she'll lend a sympathetic ear your way, right?
That's right.
At MSI.
Oh, just, yeah, we will. So we did get, it is fun. And we also I'm in the health insurance department. So, I mean,
okay.
I do the group benefits. So I work with businesses. That's why I love to be a part of the chamber. We do group benefits. And then we do individual insurance too. Health insurance. Life insurance.
Can you talk a little bit about health insurance and the state that it's in right now? I know there are people, and my wife and I are getting close to this. We want to retire fairly soon, next few years. but health insurance is such a big concern. Where are we at for health insurance? Is it reasonable? Is it possible for a person to just walk up and say, I need health insurance. I want to buy some here at Main Street Insurance. What can I do? Is that possible to do that? It just seems so difficult nowadays.
Yeah. No, we... Yeah, I mean, pretty much, yeah, you can. You can get on a policy. The only caveat to that is that if you have to do it during open enrollment period, or it's got to be a special enrollment qualifying period, like you've lost your coverage, or like I'm quitting my job, so I need to get on some health insurance. So Those are instances where, yeah, we can get you on. But, yeah, we can get you on any time, really. And then, of course, when you're turning 65, we also do Medicare.
Nice.
So we can just roll you over, and it is a smooth process, so there's no lapse in coverage.
I got a few years till that takes place, thank goodness. But if someone is in transition, say you're between jobs. I lost my job a few years back and was unemployed for, I think it was a year and a half. I was lucky. We had insurance through my wife's work, really good insurance. But if I wasn't that lucky, if I needed insurance, what is your advice for someone looking for health insurance on a budget?
Yeah, so there are lots of different plans to choose from. That's what's nice is there's dozens and there's quite a few different carriers down here in southern Utah. But yeah, you just come into us saying, hey, I'm going to be losing my job, losing my coverage. Let me see, let's look at the plans. And it all is catered to really that goes off of your income and your dependents and your household size. So you can actually get insurance for pretty cheap. We go through the marketplace. And then, of course, like I said, you have lots of different plan options. There's HSA options, which is my favorite.
Right.
But yeah, there.
Maybe explain to people what that is. I know what that is, but maybe explain what an HSA means.
Yeah, a HSA is a health savings account.
Okay.
And it goes hand in hand with a high deductible health plan. They call it the triple tax advantage because you contribute money into the HSA pre-tax. It grows tax-free and you spend it tax-free.
Okay. Cool.
And actually you can, if you get enough money in there, you can invest it. It rolls over every year. You don't have to spend it like an FSA. And it goes with you. Like if you leave your employer and you had an HSA, you take that with you. And that's what you use for all your health care needs. You can actually use it for dental, vision.
Nice.
That kind of stuff. So it's beautiful. I love the HSA. So
kind of a savings account for a rainy health day.
Yeah.
It's kind of what it is.
It is. Okay. I mean, if you talk to like the big wigs, I listen to a lot of podcasts like Dave Ramsey and Clark Howard, and they are huge advocates of the HSA. They like it even more than an IRA or
you could listen to Dave Ramsey live on KDXU instead of the podcast if you wanted.
Where there we go.
Every night.
They're a plug it in there, Andy.
I think Dave Ramsey is at, I want to say, 9 p.m. every night. So maybe that would be hard if you're not into staying up late.
Yeah.
So.
No, but yeah, there's a lot of different options. And a lot of times, like your children come off of your health plans at age 26. They drop off at the end of the month that they turn 26. So that's a really good time, too, to come call us. We just put them right into a plan, no lapse in coverage. And those kids, depending on what money they make, but they can get some really good deals on health insurance. So
that's good to hear, actually, because I know for me personally, so I have three boys. The youngest is 27. They're off.
Yeah.
But I've got two daughters. One is 20, just about to turn 23. The other one is 21. And, looking at it going, okay, is it 25? Is it 26? Is it they're on their birthday? How does that work?
So the month that they turn 26, they have until the very last day of that month until they're kicked off. So, yeah.
They were both born in December, so it would be the first of the year.
There
for
we
them,
go. And that's when open enrollment period anyway. 20, so.
And it's 26 is the year.
Yeah. We like for you guys to give us a call, a little bit ahead of time. Like I said, let us quote you. Let us figure out the plans. And so you're ready.
Yeah.
We don't want to wait till the last second.
Yeah, and you don't want any lapses or anything that. Sure, as you let your health insurance lapse a week or two, that's when something bad happens. And
really, seriously.
And an infection or something, and all of a sudden you have to pay for it yourself. So, yeah, all right. Hey, what's happening with Tamer? What's coming up that we need to know about?
few things going on. Quite a busy week today. Like I mentioned, there's the two groundbreakings today.
Let's get you to talk right into that mic.
Two groundbreakings today.
There you go. Perfect.
Sorry about that. Quite a busy week. We have a luncheon today as well at the Chamber office. That one is sold out. Might get on a wait list for that one. But that's with the Children's Justice Center. They're coming down to talk about other great things they're doing.
We had Christy Pike on the other day with the Children's Justice Center. And it's one of those deals that you hate that we have to have a Children's Justice Center, but you're glad that we do have a Children's Justice Center.
Glad that we have those great people working at that organization. And glad to have such great partners like them at the Chamber. Look out for next week. We are partnering and we are helping to present the Cotton Days in Washington City. That should be a lot of fun. Our Sunshiners are going to be out there and we're going to have some great stuff going
Another
on.
Parade, yeah.
Another parade, yeah. Hopefully.
And pace yourself with the candy, Jody.
There you go. Right.
Well, yes, we definitely will pace ourselves this time.
And we're gonna have actually Chris Staley on tomorrow to talk a little bit about Cotton Days too, in the mayor of Washington City. So that will be good. But Cotton Days coming up.
Cotton Days is the best.
Yep. And then next week, we have our State of Santa Clara City on the 23rd. Okay. That's on Tuesday with Mayor Chris Hart. And then, Rick Rosenberg.
I was going to say, Chris is Ivins. Rick is Santa Clara. Yeah.
Stay tuned, because we also have Ivins that week on Thursday with Mayor Chris Hart. And those are both at the City Halls and Ivins in Santa Clara.
A couple of smart guys, a couple of guys I really like in Rick and Chris. Give you an idea of what's happening. Ivins is an interesting study. And I know you guys are St. George Area Chamber of Commerce, and that's why you include Ivins and Santa Clara and Washington City and, you know, down Sun River all over the place.
We do. But we support them all.
Yeah. Ivins, you know, I don't know if there's a dark sky designated still. I know they were working on that. They want some business to help bring in some income, some sales tax, but they don't want they don't want Ivins to turn into a big old, commercial area. Yeah. Of course, they have the big
Black Desert
thing coming in. That's going to be crazy. Have you guys driven out there lately?
It's unbelievable.
Oh, the progress.
Holy smokes.
I have been to the driving range. That's about it.
Okay.
But we're so excited for Black Desert. And their Utah Tech now, it's their home for the golf program.
Right,
did you see that?
Yeah, amazing. That they could golf
on
a course that good. That's phenomenal. It's only going to help and pay dividends down the road for sure. Are you a golfer, Jody?
I have just started getting into it recently.
Okay.
And now we are the golfer program. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah.
That Annie Simpkin started.
Yeah.
It's the best. But we are going to be able to be the standard bearers at the LPGA in
you're
Copper
do that.
Rock.
That is really
I'm
cool.
I'm so excited for it.
That is really cool.
So, I'm trying to get into it. It's so fun.
We had on, I wish I could remember her name, the lady in charge of the Copper Rock golf stuff, and she was on the show. Anyway, she talked about that men are great at getting business deals done on the golf course, and women are not. And she wants to change. Annie Simpkins like, I want to change that.
It is
Let's
so
do
true.
Something about it.
It's the language of business, right? We want to be out there, too.
and
it's fun.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to gain great relationships, you know? It's beautiful, especially our
So how many times have you been out golfing now?
I've been out probably about 5 or 6 times this season. So
is there a part of your game that you're good at already? Are you a good putter or chipper?
Actually would say I'm probably better at driving.
Really?
It's my iron.
And that's the hardest part of the game,
wedge.
If you ask me.
My pitching wedge is my nemesis.
I'm the opposite. I'm good at pitching and putting, but I'm not a great driver. On the golf course. I'm okay on the road. But how about you, Nate? Are you a golfer?
Yeah, I try to get out as much as I can. Had the opportunity to play Black Desert before the course was
finished. Oh, you got to play there?
Wow.
I haven't played it. I think they only had 6 holes done, so we went out a couple times on the last few there. But
nice.
I mean, beautiful course. There's so many great courses out here.
Did you lose any balls on the lava rock?
Oh, you know it.
I heard that is good. That's so hard.
They're still out there somewhere, those balls. Yeah. So, we've got, obviously the PGA coming here and then the LPGA at Black Desert. Of course, we have the Epson Tour
the
and the Senior Championship out at Copper Rock. This has always, to me, been a golf community. Mm-hmm. I've been here 30 years, and I mean, back then we had 6 golf courses. Now I can't even count how many we have now, but I think it's a part of who we are here in southern Utah. I have not golfed much lately. I feel like I maybe need to fix that.
Yeah.
Well, what do you guys think? Just, I'll ask both of you this question. With Black Desert and the PGA coming here in October, what is that going to do to St. George, do you think?
I definitely think it's huge. We were so excited to hear about both LPGA and PGA coming in. I mean, I think it's like another Ironman, you know? It just boosts us up. It gets us on the map more. I mean, we're already big. We're growing. But now it brings in everybody to see our...
Now we can handle these premier events. And we just love the spotlight that's been shown on this amazing area. Black Desert, great partner of the Chamber.
Yeah.
We love what they're doing out there. And we're super excited to see the PGA come.
How long have you been, Jody, how long have you been in town here?
It's been about 20 years.
Okay. Yeah. Early 2000s then?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yep, exactly. And Nate, pretty new to the area, right?
Pretty new, just over 3 years now.
3 years? Oh, that's not new.
Bad.
Yeah, it's not like 3 months, right? You know, 3 years, been around a little bit. Yeah, I've been here 30 years, and I still get the, oh, you're one of the new people, huh? 30 years? Well, I've been here since the early 90s. Doesn't that mean anything? Well,
I'm pretty sure I have roots now, right?
Yeah, we've been here a long time. And actually, I lived in Cedar City, I lived in Hurricane, I've lived in Washington. 19 years in Washington City, and then we've lived in St. George a couple different times. Now we've been in Middleton, which is St. George City, for 5 years. So, great place to be.
I just love it here. My kids have moved away, and they're like, oh, move over here by us. I'm like, I could never leave St. George. I just love it so much. I love it.
It is awesome.
It is beautiful.
Well, Jody and Nate, thank you so much for coming in and spending a couple of minutes. Anything else we need to get to before I let you go?
Just look out for our State of the City addresses next week. Come on down to Ivins in Santa Clara. Get everything you need to know about your backyard.
Very cool. Thank you, Nate. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Andy.
We are going to give away right now 2 tickets to see Tracy Byrd and Little Texas at the Washington County Fair tonight. So if you don't have plans for, if you already have plans for tonight, well, let someone else win these things. But give us a call right now, 673-5890. Stockton will answer the phone. And, we'll give away a couple tickets to the Tracy Byrd and Little Texas concert tonight at the Washington County Fair. We'll be right back. Right now, let's check in with weather.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
It is 9:34. Good morning to you. Rob is the winner of the tickets to Tracy Byrd, Little Texas. Get your 90s country on right there, Rob. Congratulations. I've got some tickets I'm going to give away, I think, Friday for the Demolition Derby out of the county fair. That'll be fun. If you haven't been to a Demolition Derby before, well, it's an interesting time. A couple of years ago, they had a major rainstorm before the Demolition Derby. There were a good thing and a bad thing. The good thing was the mud bog made for mud flying. It was kind of fun. The bad thing was the cars couldn't really get up to speed in the mud, so their collisions weren't as exciting. But I've got some tickets, and no rain in the forecast, by the way, for Saturday night's Demolition Derby. We're going to give that away, I think, Friday on the show, and probably Friday. It's 9:35, and David Romer is with me from Modern Warriors. Hi, David.
How's it going? Appreciate it's good to be back. It's been a while.
Appreciate you coming in. It's been a few months. David is a new daddy.
That's right. Got a 3-month-old now. Yeah.
Is that going well?
It's going well.
Getting any sleep?
More than I would have thought for a 3-month-old. Let's put it that way. No. My wife helps with that, obviously, so that's awesome. She's huge for that. But, she sleeps a lot better than I would have thought for her age, you know. She's awesome. She's just fun.
That's tough, guys. We learn a lot when we have daughters. We learn some things that we never thought we would have to learn, like,
You get the realization just how soft you can be. It didn't take long on the first daughter. Yeah,
that's true. Although it does harken me back to, since you're here and we're talking a little bit about firearms, there was a country song popular maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago about called Cleaning This Gun. And it was basically the boy came over to pick up his daughter to go on a date.
Mm-hmm.
He says, boy, treat her with respect, do all this stuff, and I'll just be here at home cleaning this gun.
Cleaning this gun.
Yeah. So I can't remember who sang that, but it was to me, it was good. Like, yeah, okay, I can relate to that.
Yeah. I've had a dad in the past that's pulled a similar approach. Didn't work as well as he hoped, but
you want to see mine?
A little too comfortable with him at that point. I was like, yeah, okay, cool. That's nice.
Yeah. Well, David, of course, works at Modern Warriors, and you guys just had your anniversary, 10-year anniversary. How did that go? How was that?
It was a pretty insane day. It was a ton of fun, and I talking to the vendors and patrons, it seems like everyone loved it. We certainly loved it. I mean, we had 50 manufacturers out there that we do a lot of business from everything from, you know, budget friendly stuff to super high end, and chances for customers to interact with them and frankly for them to interact with customers. It's something that manufacturers don't get to do very often. They go to all these trade shows, but it's always shops like us or distributors. You know, they never really get to talk to actual consumers very often. And so they absolutely love coming out and doing stuff like this.
That's cool.
Yeah, they got pretty geared up for it. Gave away over about $40,000 worth of product and raffles and giveaways and raised over $15,000 for the Utah Veterans Alliance that we donated. It was an awesome day. It was insane. We were running everywhere, but it was a good time.
I had every intention of getting there, and unfortunately I was under the weather that day, and I was like, really want to go and cough on people and make other people sick, so I stayed.
Yeah, it was packed pretty tight too, so yeah. been a lot of people.
Yeah. People all over would have been, that stupid radio guy made me sick.
That's right.
Well, that's good. I'm glad it was a success, and you guys were able to raise money for the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
We love the
veterans. Yeah, that was awesome.
Last night was Modern Warriors Night for the veterans at the fair.
Yeah.
I don't know if were you guys involved in sponsoring that, or was that a coincidence the way they named it?
So we've last year, I think, was our first year that we've done anything with that. But yeah, that's something that we're trying to get more involved with other things, not necessarily firearms related in the community, and kind of get involved with that and get our name out there and help support some other projects. So,
and you are a veteran yourself?
I am. Yep.
How long? You were in the Marine Corps, correct?
Marine Corps. Yep.
How long?
So I did 4 years. Got out with a knee injury, but enjoyed the opportunity to get to do it. Learned a lot. Got to do some different things you don't normally get to do, and some training you don't normally see. And
I'm going to ask you a weird question.
Really appreciate, you know, the opportunity to do it, frankly.
As a Marine, as a regular citizen, non-Marine, we see everything we know about the Marines we learn from movies, right?
Right, right, right.
Very few of us any of the real inner workings of the Marines. Are there things about the Marines, Dave, that would surprise us, that go on that we didn't realize actually went on outside of the Hollywood scripts?
Yes, I'm trying to think exactly the way to put some of it.
Got to be careful.
So there's been, and not just Marine Corps, military in general, there's been a big push in the last few decades of non-military personnel trying to get involved in day-to-day activities and the way things work.
Okay.
Now, that can be good. That can be bad. You know, there's been cases of obviously bad things where, you know, perhaps some interjection might be good. You know, there's been cases like in Parris Island, for instance, where drill instructors have kind of gone off the reservation and, you know, taken what we call death marches, and you've had recruits die, you know, out there. Mm. And that's obviously not a good thing. That's the kind of stuff you want to stop.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird stuff like that. That's not good. The caveat I'm going to put on that is that there's a reason that a lot of these, like, Fortune 500 companies and stuff like that, they actively seek out military veterans, Marines, especially Marines, for leadership roles in a lot of these organizations. And obviously, you can't do everything the same way because it's not a military environment. But there is a level of immediacy and urgency to the way things are done and how they're handled. It's a completely different perspective. So, I mean, from a military perspective, if you want to question an order, you want to try to discuss it, or you don't want to follow it, even a split second, that means your buddy might die next to you, right? Because you didn't do your job to cover him.
Yeah.
You're not there to cover yourself. You're covering your buddy.
Right.
So he dies because you questioned something. And that's obviously not acceptable. That's not good. That's not how you get the mission done. And obviously, we all want to come home. Right. And so there is a completely different perspective the way things are handled. And yes, it can be aggressive at times. that certainly can happen. And publicly, that's not really how things are done. But, you know, sometimes that's necessary.
No, understandable for sure. In a smaller way, I think the same can be said for people who play athletics at a high level.
Absolutely. And there's maybe a lot of similarities.
Maybe not lives on the line, but certainly your teammates are on the line. And you learn the value of goal setting, the value of working as a team, the value of drilling certain things so that you get good at them.
Correct, yeah. And sacrificing together, right? Sacrifice. You're all going to I played sports pretty competitively for most of my younger life. And yeah, exactly. There's tons of similarities there. I mean, nobody likes going through Hell Week, you know, preseason, just getting absolutely
days,
obliterated.
5 degrees.
Yeah. But it does bring all y'all together better, right? Yeah, you know, and that is a bonding experience as well as just a performance increasing experience, right? I mean, there's something to be said for going through hardship with other people. It brings you all together, and it doesn't matter what environment you're looking at. Every time that happens, the group that went through it are always closer. They always work better together. It's kind of funny how that works, but I wouldn't change anything for the world to not do it or anything else like that. You know, got cut short a little bit, but in the long run, I think looking back, it's probably probably worked out better for the family side of things anyway. And now I'm getting to do some other stuff that I love. So there you go.
Yeah, very cool. Well, again, we appreciate your service and really the service of all the men and women that you know, sacrifice. You know, there's a popular bumper sticker saying that there's only one person who has basically put their life on the line and committed that they will die for you, and that's a member of the armed services and maybe police officers.
Yeah, I'd absolutely include law enforcement with that personally. Yeah. But
and then,
just a quick aside.
Yeah,
this country is great. We're very patriotic, and we do a lot for veterans. And as a veteran, obviously, I greatly appreciate that. And I've got friends that, you know, have harder times with things than I do. And it means a lot to me. However, I do think a lot of times, especially this day and age, there's a lot of anti-law enforcement stuff going. I do think they're kind of shortchanged a little bit.
Frustrating. Yeah.
From my perspective, I mean, going into like a war zone and dealing with stuff like that is a very different environment than being at home and still effectively being at combat. The day-to-day operation of that, I think law enforcement's probably harder in many respects, and those guys deserve a lot of credit. They really do.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's like the mom teaching her son, say, anytime there's an emergency, you look and you see everybody running away, but there's a certain group of people that are running toward the emergency. Those are your first responders, people that are putting their lives online. So, what about the mental side of things in the Marines? It's a proven statistic that people that are former military, people that are former law enforcement, have a higher rate of suicide than people who did not do those things. Have the Marines and other armed services addressed that? Are they trying to make some changes?
They are trying. I think there's a limit to what they specifically can do directly, at least.
Yeah.
The access to mental health stuff for veterans and stuff has increased significantly over the years. It used to be extremely taboo. I mean, the moment you bring that up, like, get this guy out of the unit, kick him out, he's out of the service. Like, we can't handle this, he's gone. I mean, I had guys that were going to mental health while we were in, getting ready for deployment. It was okay. Right. And then the access through the VA system to that has expanded significantly. I think culturally our entire country has gotten much better with understanding that, hey, this isn't this isn't kind of from the movies of old where, they've got a mental condition, they need to be in an asylum, like, locking for, that's not what that means necessarily, right? No. Like, there's tons of people that need some help mentally, and it's actually a pretty normal thing. I would say a huge percentage of people at some degree need something. And having that outlet and that access to care is enormous. And it's gotten a ton better.
9:45. If you want to talk with Dave, maybe ask him a question. You got a question about the military, maybe about firearms, whatever it may be. Give us a call at 673-5890, or you can text me at 467-5842. Dave, we're going to get a little commercial break in. When we come back, I want to talk about maybe some tips for someone who is new to firearms, new to the idea of protecting themselves being a good idea. Maybe some tips for those types of people.
Absolutely.
And we'll get to that when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
We're on with firearms expert and former Marine David Romer. David, thanks for coming in today. Also new dad, David Romer.
Yep, that's me.
Got two now, right?
Two kids now. Yeah, two girls. Now.
All right.
Yeah, two my girls. Hands full.
Yeah, you're gonna be humbled in a big hurry with two daughters. When, yep. You gotta get a boy, though. You can't stop you until you have a boy, right?
I'm not so sure about that. Gotta keep the numbers game alive.
Yeah, for sure. All right, David, let's approach this topic now as a person who it's never, maybe they shot a .22 when they were a Boy Scout. Maybe they shot a shotgun. Somebody took them hunting once for birds or something. But really, they don't know much about guns, and but they feel like they need to have the peace of mind of being protected by carrying a firearm.
Sure.
First of all, let's have them come into your shop now, Modern Warriors. What are you going to tell them in the shop? And then we'll get into some other tips after we talk about this.
Well, so the first question is going to be kind of what you were just talking about. What is your actual background firearms, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got people that have never really been into guns, but they've been exposed. They've shot them at camp or uncle's house or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And some of those are actually fairly proficient. Another one's going to be just kind of your kind of physical situation, right? Some of the new gunners that we have are coming in, and, you know, it might be, you know, a guy in his low 20s, you know, he's an athlete, you know, very strong, very capable. He can handle stuff real well. It also just as likely is, you know, an elderly woman that's never done anything, has arthritis, you know, it's hard to manipulate stuff. Yeah. And those are important things to consider because some platforms are really hard to manipulate if you have like arthritis or any kind of, any kind of physical weakness there or an injury. Others, you know, maybe not so much. They have stuff specifically designed for people in those situations. But that it might handicap you in sense of capacity or which calibers you can use and that kind of stuff. So those are going to be your primary things you want to look at and see what even are options to begin with.
To develop a baseline of where we're at.
Okay. Correct. And then from there, we can kind of grow into kind of whichever kind of fits you a little better. I often joke about it with customers that, you know, guns are kind of like shoes. and they fit everyone different, right? Yeah. So what feels great to me might feel absolutely horrendous to you.
Sure.
What works for me might not work for you. There's various things. But being able to get stuff in your hands and kind of feel how that interface works, it's not as good as shooting it, of course, but you can tell pretty quick, like, man, as soon as I pick this up, this is digging into me right here.
Yeah,
awesome.
I like that.
Not a good choice. All right, let's go something else, right?
Right.
And so kind of fitting that a little bit is helpful. Another thing that I would highly recommend, though, is if you know someone that you at least trust to a degree that knows anything about guns or has some, talk to them. Right. Kind of feel them out. Most gun owners I know, unless you're pretty hostile towards them, they're pretty open to talking about it and sharing that with you and educating. Right. And so if you can get hands on and just kind of feel some unloaded and try some of theirs, or if they'll take you out and let you shoot, or if you can go rent some at the range or something and try a few out, that's extremely useful information to have. It's currently the class that we have is a women's only class that does this. So we have a women's handgun class, but, John and Tammy Popke, they're the instructors. They do instruction all the time, around here. So you can always set stuff up with them outside of us if you prefer. But they run a women's handgun class that we offer and there's no shooting, but they get you in. It's small. And they have tons of different types of guns in there. And so you can sit there and fondle them, get a feel for them, see how they work, what the safety features are, how to manipulate them, what they feel like in hand. They go through some other kind of experiential type stuff with dry fire, where John typically plays the assailant and, you know, kind of figure out how to dispatch that. But it's really cool because, for people that, you know, various ways to carry, for instance, various holster types and how to move that around. And it's extremely educational. We get great feedback from that class, especially newer people. I know they would be happy to share that with guys as well, not just women. But the women's one's the one that tends to sell better as a class. That's why we offer that one. But any exposure to that you can get preemptively is better. And then the other caveat I would say is don't rush into a decision, right? Mm-hmm. I get the feeling, especially the way the world is right now, it's like, man, I need something to protect myself, so I need to go down and get one. Okay, that's not wrong to go get one, but if you don't get one that's, if you're not educated on it, like, go home, do some research. Like, we're happy for you. Take pictures of what they are, write them down, whatever, so you don't forget stuff. Keep pricing on their models, whatever. But do a little bit of research or ask around with your friends and stuff and make sure, you know, we try our best to only carry stuff that we trust. And we'll give you our honest opinion as salespeople over at Modern Warriors, myself included, obviously. But at the end of the day, what we're looking for is to get you what's best for your situation, your case, and for you. It's not to sell you the most expensive thing, or necessarily the one that we like the most, right? You
know? Right.
And so we're going to do our best with that. But if you don't know us individually, you know, you might not trust that. And, you know, there are times that people make mistakes or make a wrong assumption, right? So if you can do a little research, do some online, there's tons of YouTube videos out. It'll help expand that a little bit more.
With all that in mind, and you already kind of answered this, but with all that in mind, are there a couple of firearms that you would recommend for someone who is new to the game? And like I said, we know, mm-hmm. obviously it's, you know, different sizes, different ages, different fits, different feels.
Absolutely.
Are there a couple that you were like, this is a pretty good general new one?
Yeah, so like for me, I would say our most popular are going to be Glocks, because it's the quintessential mm-hmm. affordable handgun. It's been that way for decades. So Glocks sell like crazy. And then to me, Sig Sauer makes a general model line called the 365. Mm-hmm. And that range is by far our most popular carry gun. They're very reliable. They feel good in hand. They shoot well. They have good capacity for their size. And they make some that are much larger. So if it's something you're going to put on the range or at home, it gives you more gun to hold and control to help manage recoil. It's not as scary, not as snappy. They do really small ones if you want to even pocket carry it if you wanted to. But between the Glocks and like the 365 series, specifically with SIGs, those are probably our most popular ones. And they fit, I would say, most people between the two. Are going to find something that works well with them and is shootable. I'm more of a SIG guy myself, but yeah, it's preference. It's preference on that. So
When I was out shopping, I held a lot of guns. I did kind of like what you were recommending. Feel mm-hmm. them, hold them, see what feels right. And the Glock 19 to me fit in my hand just mm-hmm. perfectly. And that, you know, that was what I made my decision on. It wasn't,
absolutely.
You know, accuracy or magazine size or anything. It was, did yeah. this feel right?
Right, you're right. And people do get hung up on smaller details, you know, like what's the accuracy on this? What's the magazine capacity? I'll be the first to say, myself included, at least 99% of people are going to get outshot by their handgun. Handguns are hard to shoot well. They just are. Yeah. Even guys with a lot of training are going to get outshot by their handgun most of the time. And so a small variation in accuracy on a handgun is not something I would make as a deal breaker at all. Magazine capacity, it's great to have more ammo, but if you can't hit anything with that gun, it doesn't matter, right? You just spray more non-consequential area.
By volume.
Not a great policy in civilian environments, so let me put it up.
Okay. Do you have any other tips for someone who is maybe a new gun owner?
Prioritize ammo and training.
Okay.
Ammo and training over quantity of guns and styles. It's an easy rabbit hole to go down to and collect and see all the crazy stuff that's out there. But at the end of the day, if you can't shoot, you can't shoot. Mm. Training is, at least here, there's some pretty affordable options that are good quality. Between Brent Roberts and John and Tammy Popke again. They are awesome. Their contact info is, if you go onto our classes on our website, any of the classes, as you scroll the bottom, it'll tell you who the instructor is. It'll also give you their contact info. We don't make money off classes. We just forward that to the instructors. We let them use our classroom, that kind of deal. But that's what they do. They're not employees of ours. You can talk to them. They'll set up various classes for you, kind of what you want to do. If you want to one-on-one, small group with your friends, whatever you want to do. But so, get training. That's the biggest thing.
So buying a gun, putting it in your holster or your pocket or whatever, and then just carrying it around thinking you're bad is a bad idea.
It's a great
if
way
you
to
don't know what you're doing.
And get yourself in trouble. Yeah. Okay. One way or another.
That's good advice.
Yeah. Really training's going to be your biggest deal.
It kind of harkens back to, you know, you were talking about being a Marine. We were talking mm-hmm. about playing sports. All these things, you don't get good at stuff by just thinking about it. You get good at stuff by repetition, by doing it.
Absolutely. Build muscle memory, build consistency. Mindset is a big deal when you start talking about very serious issues like life and death decisions, that stuff. And that's important to train as well, is your mind on that. And that's something that's really popular and huge in the military. One of the things that sets people apart. But it's also something that can you know, depending on how much you let that affect you, it can get you kind of in that vein where, like we were talking about, you start worrying about mental health and, yeah, and stuff like that. If everything you focus on is taking lives and stuff, that can, even if you're not doing it, that can still affect you. So keep things in perspective, keep things in balance. But don't try to figure out where the line is on where you need to take action in the heat of the moment. It's too late.
Thought
needs to be had before then, than just physical training as well.
Good point. He's David Roman from Modern Warriors, our former Marine, and good advice, good life advice today. We talked a little bit about our heroes and people we look up to and how one of their big things is heroes, if they're going to be real heroes, have to be competent at something.
Yes. Yes.
Incompetence does not make for a very good hero. So.
Yeah.
Thank you for talking about competency, Dave.
There we go.
Good to talk to you. It's been the Andy Griffin Show. Tomorrow, we've got Celeste Malloy will join me for a few minutes, and Chris Staley from Washington City to talk about the upcoming Cotton Days. Thanks for listening, everybody.